What kind of expenses do independent contractors face? On this episode of Driven Too Far, we're tackling some of the most common costs of leasing programs. Hello, I'm Andrew Winkler with Chief Carriers, and this is Driven Too Far, the truth about trucking, a podcast that helps over-the-road truck drivers balance career and family. So you're interested in truck leasing programs, and you're really curious about what are some of the common costs that I'm going to face? You're new to this, you haven't done it before. Once you start checking it out, you know, the carrier that you're with or the carriers that you're looking into, they should break it down for you. But here's some of the most common costs you will see and face if you jump into a lease program. The first is obviously the vehicle payment, right? The truck payment. Most carriers break down the truck payments into a weekly time frame. So every week they're taking something out of your settlement. Used to be a good rule of thumb that, you know, $2,000 a month was what you could kind of expect. It's creeped above that now. The truck prices have gone up so dang much over the last few years that it's gotten way more expensive. So it might be $2,400 a month, something like that. Talk to your carrier about that stuff. See where they're at. You really got to get that weekly number to a manageable range and stuff. If not, you're going to struggle to make money in the program. The biggest thing you're going to run into is fuel costs. So as an independent contractor, you'll be responsible for paying the fuel for the truck. And there's a lot of things you can do to kind of manage that. We'll get into that here in just a minute. But just know that fuel will most likely be your biggest expense that you have in a lease program. Insurance premiums. Most carriers are going to make you carry at least some of the insurance. It'll vary from program to program whether or not you have to carry the cargo insurance yourself or if the carrier is responsible for the cargo insurance. In our case, we carry the cargo insurance while the independent contractors are under dispatch. And then we require them to carry a bobtail insurance or a non-trucking liability, they call it, a physical damage insurance. So the physical damage on the truck, that will change based on the value of the truck. So if you're driving a $200,000Peterbilt or Kenworth, it's going to be a lot higher than if you're driving a $60,000 Freightliner. So that'll fluctuate. And then the last one is what we call work comp or occupational accident, which acts like work comp insurance. Once you become an independent contractor, that company can no longer cover your work comp or carry work comp on you. You're no longer an employee. So it may vary from state to state or carrier to carrier what they require, what kinds of insurance they require of you. But just know occupational accident is a pretty common one as well. Now, one of the questions you might have is, oh my gosh, do I have to go out and line up all these things to become this independent contractor? It sounds like a ton of work. Typically, no. The answer is that most of the carriers have their programs really dialed in and tuned in, and you can get these insurances through them at their group rates, and they're simply going to deduct some of these things on your weekly settlements and stuff. So it makes it pretty easy. Doesn't mean you can't go out and shop and find your own rates if you can find something better, but that's usually pretty hard to do. Like I said, they're getting some kind of a group discount from multiple trucks, multiple drivers on that policy and stuff. So it's pretty hard to beat, and sometimes just easier to let the carrier handle those deductions for you. Maintenance and repairs. This is a big one. So, you know, one of the options you have if you go into a lease operator program is you're typically leasing a new or newer truck that's still under factory warranty. And I think that can be a little bit misleading when you think about that. So you do that because you feel safe. I'm going to lease a new vehicle that's under factory warranty. That way, if something goes wrong, it's covered. Well, there's a little catch to that. So most trucks have a 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper type warranty, and then they will have a factory warranty up to maybe 500,000 miles or whatever that carrier purchased when they bought the truck. But that past 100,000 miles, it doesn't cover everything. It's talking major components. So you're talking engine, transmission, rear ends, typically, and sometimes an after treatment system if the carrier purchased that. But when you're thinking about engine, and if I have an injector go out, well, isn't that covered under the warranty? No, a lot of these things aren't covered. So typical breakdowns and failures sometimes are not covered. You need to make sure to ask for the details, ask for the fine print on those, so you have a really good understanding of what is and what isn't covered. You'll also be expected to buy tires and your oil changes and your PMs, that type of stuff. That routine maintenance is typically covered by the independent contractor. Those obviously are not covered under warranty. Brakes, that type of stuff. So, you know, when you get to that point, you're buying a vehicle or you're going to lease a vehicle, ask the carrier if you can search through the maintenance director to the maintenance records to see what's been done to that truck. Especially as the truck ages, you'll really want to know, has it had a clutch put in it? When's the last time the brakes were changed? Those types of things. And sometimes just by doing that or asking the maintenance department, hey, would this truck make a good purchase? Or is there a better truck you would recommend? Just talk to them about it. And the idea is to get yourself set up for success so you don't step into this truck and then all of a sudden you got maintenance expense right off the bat. That's going to be a struggle for you. So involve your maintenance department in the relationship you have with them and ask for help selecting what they feel is one of the most reliable and you know, the better trucks in the fleet. Tolls and taxes. When you move from company driver to independent contractor, your carrier is going to give you a weekly, biweekly, monthly settlement, right? A settlement means all the revenue that you earned, they're probably going to deduct truck payment, fuel, insurance out of there, stuff like that, maintenance costs. But then that's your gross check. They do not take employment or payroll taxes out of that. You're no longer an employee, so they don't do that. You have to be disciplined enough to know that check you got, which is pretty big, right, is better than it was as a company guy, but you got to take a chunk of that and put it away and make sure you're saving for taxes, because every quarter you're going to make quarterly tax payments to the IRS for those things. You don't get out of paying the taxes. So, anyways, you got to be disciplined and make sure you've got a good accounting partner and that you're putting money away for those things. Toll roads, in most cases, the carriers can't pay the independent contractor for business type expenses. So tolls is one of those examples. Tolls are in a lot of cases is an option, right? You can take the toll road. You don't have to take the toll road. You know, who's going to pay that expense? But those typically come back to the independent contractor. Even if your company has a toll transponder in your truck and they allow you to continue to use that, typically they'll bill that back to you, maybe at the end of the month or the quarter, something like that. There'll be a deduction for that. So make sure you understand that. So those are probably the biggest expenses that you're going to face as an independent contractor. But I really want to kind of hone in on the fuel management, because that's the one we said was going to be your biggest expense. Most carriers of size have a fuel network built already, meaning they're getting discounts from the pilots, the TAs, the Js, Loves, whatever that looks like. They will likely pass some or all of that discount back to you as an independent contractor. In my case, we pass 100% of our discounts through because we think it's the right thing to do for our drivers. It helps them, set them up for success, be more successful, stuff like that. Now, I'm aware of some carriers out there that might keep a fee or a certain percentage of that discount. You know, they say that it's an admin fee, or that's their fee for maintaining the network, I guess, or something. But those are one of the questions you need to ask. So making sure you stay in network will make a huge difference on your expense side. It's not unusual to see a difference of $1 per gallon from retail versus the wholesale price or the discounted price that you're gonna pay. That'll have a dramatic impact on the success of your business. So make sure you're staying in network. I had a guy one time that, we don't use Loves, and it's nothing against Loves. It's just that the discounts we have now, we're satisfied with, and Loves would like to have our business as well, but they also want a certain percentage of our gallons to make sure they can afford to give us those discounts. And we can't afford to give everybody. We can't spread the gallons too thin, or we're going to lose discounts here and stuff. But I had a guy that was an independent contractor for us, been in about 3 months in, and he says, hey, can we fuel at Love's? And I said, well, your card's open. It'll certainly work at Love's, but why would you want to do that? And he says, well, I just like their showers, or I like their parking, or, you know, there's one close to my house type stuff is usually the kind of things you hear. And I get it. you know, they have nice facilities and stuff, and that's where we would like to go as professionals, right? We want to go to the cleanest, best facilities out there. But it wasn't in our network, and I wanted to make sure he knew that. He started, you know, buying fuel at Love's and stuff, but I had to kind of pull him back in and show him after a couple months of, here's what you're leaving on the table. You're walking away from all these discounts, and his eyes got really big. And I said, yeah, I tried to tell you that. So I think he changed his tune eventually, but, you know, at the time, it's like he wasn't thinking about it. It's like, well, it's just swiping the card. What's the big deal? It will be a big deal. It's going to have an impact on your bottom line. So fuel discounts is big. And just one of my favorite things to do, we have an education piece that we put drivers through called an owner-operator workshop. And it's an educational piece we do before we sign any kind of contracts with them, because so many of these drivers are first-time owner-operators, or maybe they've done it before and didn't have great success at it. It's just about trying to be transparent and exposing them to the things that are going to make them successful, not successful in their business. So we spend a lot of time on fuel, obviously, because it's going to have a big impact. And one of the things we talk about is miles per gallon and the efficiency and how you drive the truck. We also talk about what truck out of the fleet are you trying to lease. And we have certain trucks in the fleet, from our worst truck to our best truck, that's probably a mile per gallon difference, if not more. So we actually work through some of those numbers, and I'll put a calculator in front of them, and I get up on the whiteboard and I said, okay, you punch in these numbers as I write them down here, and we're going to work through this. And I'm also showing them how to calculate the cost of fuel per mile. So we do that, and we'll start out with, you know, let's say you're running 100,000 miles a year and your truck gets 6 miles per gallon. You know, divide that in. How many gallons of fuel are you going to buy over the course of a year? Spits out a number. I said, all right, what's today's average retail price of fuel? We multiply the numbers. I say, so here's your annual fuel spend at 100,000 miles a year at 6 miles per gallon. Okay, so let's do the same exercise. Let's do 6.5 miles per gallon. Let's do 7 miles per gallon. And usually what you end up with from the 6 miles per gallon to the 7 mile per gallon, depending on the current price of fuel, it can be $10,000-$12,000 a year difference. And I'm trying to get them to understand that, you know, when you can figure out how to cut costs or cut expense out of your business, 100% of that is savings to you, and it goes in your pocket. So I always try to say, listen, if I were going to write you a $12,000 check right now, would you take it? And they're like, well, yeah, I'd take it. Of course I would. I said, okay, keep that in mind. Now, let's talk about what truck you're going to lease from us. Which one do you want to lease? Well, I like this one because it's got a square nose and it's got stacks on it. Well, guess which one gets 6 miles to the gallon, right? So it's like, wait a minute. We just talked about that. And you told me that you want to earn the most money possible in this lease program. But here comes the ego in and going, I need to look good when I'm leasing this truck. And they a lot of times they make that choice. So all you can do is educate them and try to, you know, like say, lead the horse to water kind of thing. But they don't. And I always tell them, I says, hey, it's your choice. I get it. I like nice, shiny things too. I like a nice vehicle. But if you can break away from that and you can understand that this is a business decision, it's not about how good you look. It's about how much money am I going to make operating this business? And $10,000 a year is a significant amount of money, I would think. I wonder what would happen if I said, let's get your spouse on the phone and let's go through this same exercise. I wonder which one she'd tell you to take, but I've never done that to anybody. So anyways, you know, vehicle maintenance, you cannot skip vehicle maintenance. I'm going to guess if you're leasing from a carrier, they're not going to allow you to do that anyway, but don't take shortcuts when it comes to your vehicle maintenance. And that's with tires and your PMs and all those things. You got a bad shock on the truck, get the shock fixed, get the truck shock changed. One of the things that happens the most common, and this is usually with a company driver, is we pay out a quarterly fuel bonus and somebody didn't make it and they're upset. I'm like, hey, let's talk about it. Let's go look at the numbers and figure out why you didn't make it, because typically you're a good operator and you probably should have made it. Well, why is your idle time at 35 or 40%? Oh, well, my APU quit working a couple months ago. I'm like, did you tell anybody? Well, no, I hadn't really said anything. Like, well, you got to tell somebody because that took money out of your pocket as long our pocket too. When you're an independent contractor, you got to think different. You got to think about those things. So if the APU goes down and all of a sudden you have to start idling the truck and it's, you know, in the winter months or the cold months, you're burning through more fuel. It's costing you more. And they don't always think like that. It's like, oh, it's no big deal. I'll get it fixed at some point. Or maybe I don't want to spend the money to get it fixed. But you really need to take time and calculate, okay, what's it going to cost me if I don't get it fixed? So again, those are some of the educational pieces we try to walk through with them and help them out. Fuel efficient driver training. I would love to tell you that, you know, over the years, we've tried to do that with some drivers. But the struggle is that we've all got our driving habits, right? And it's very, very difficult to change those driving habits. Once you drive a certain way, if you're always running the truck up to the governor, or if you were an old school guy that came out of a two-cycle diesel engine, an old Detroit-style engine where you had to wrap them up on the RPMs, and you're still driving today's vehicles and diesel engines like that, you're burning too much fuel doing it. But getting people to change those habits is very, very difficult. So we still try, but the understand the driver and the input they have on the fuel efficiency of the vehicle is huge. So if you're not getting the fuel efficiency that you should, or that other drivers are getting with the same vehicle in the fleet, you might have to look in a mirror. It might be doing something you're doing, the way you're driving the truck, your way of handling the truck, that you need to change. So keep that in mind. I know that's not an easy one to swallow, but sometimes you got to look in the mirror and ask why this is happening. So what about some cost management strategies for success? And I'll tell you a quick a story, tale of two drivers, and I've probably told this before, but in a previous company, we had leasing programs, and we, in fact, to be honest, it's the reason we started coming up with the education piece. So what we saw is we leased a truck to a gentleman that he was having a great time, you know, checks got bigger and stuff, and he's running that truck. And essentially what happened is he lasted about a year because the IRS caught up with him pretty quick. He wasn't saving money to pay his quarterly taxes like he should have been. He didn't have a plan. He didn't have an accountant. He didn't have somebody help him keep the books to keep him in line. All he was doing, he was getting these bigger checks every week than he was as a company driver, and he was blowing it. He was spending it as fast as he could, as fast as he was making it. And then at the end of the year, when it comes time to pay Uncle Sam, he didn't have it. He ended up getting out of the trucking industry, and I don't know where he went or what happened to him, but you can't run away from the debt you owe to the IRS. So at some point, he probably still ended up paying it. On the flip side of that, I've got a guy that we put through a lease program years ago, and he was wildly successful with it. In fact, he loves to tell the story how this lease program changed his life. He was a company driver, been driving for a long time, took a risk, jumped into the lease program. He started making more money, and he was responsible with it, and he had a plan. Him and his wife had a plan. As they put so much away, they were able to pay off some past debt a lot quicker and get out from under a lot of those things that were, you know, stressing them out. And I love that, because he would be the first one out there to tell people, it's like, this lease program changed my life, for my wife and myself. And so many times you hear the bad or the negative stories about the lease programs, but the reality is, if you look at those two scenarios, exact same lease program, both these guys, we paid on a cents per mile plus a fuel, so both guys were making the same income or same dollar per mile. One failed at it miserably, and one guy was wildly successful. So it was all about having a plan and having people in your corner to help you be successful. Probably can't overstate the importance of having a good relationship with your operations team or your dispatcher, fleet manager, whatever you call it. But you think about aligning with somebody that's going to get you loads that make sense, that fit what you want to do, how many miles you're trying to run every week, what kind of income are you trying to generate every week with that asset that you have. But having that good working relationship with your dispatcher can make a world of difference too there. So load selection, where you're going, how you're keeping the truck running, minimizing downtime, layovers, things like that will have a big impact on your bottom line. There's a lot of technology out there. It keeps coming too. So ask yourself, what could you do with the technology side of stuff to help make yourself more successful when it comes to managing costs and expenses? There's a lot of cool apps out there for your phone that will help you track stuff, your expenses. You just got to be disciplined with that stuff. So make sure you check out the technology. There's a lot of great stuff out there that will help your success. Negotiating skills, that's probably more if you're an independent contractor and maybe you're operating under your own authority and you're out there talking to brokers on a regular basis trying to book your own freight stuff. But it is important that you educate yourself and don't just let the broker pay you whatever they're going to pay you. You really need to dive in and understand freight rates and traffic lanes and have a general understanding. You don't have to be an expert, but you got to know that not everything's created equal. If you take a high-paying load from A to B, there's a reason that was a high-paying load, because when you get to B, the rates are probably going to be crap. So you have to be able to figure out and always try to look a couple moves ahead of yourself. It's like, okay, this is really good, but if I take it, what am I going to do when I get there? How am I going to negotiate that? What kind of rate am I looking for coming out of there? So those are the type of things where the negotiating skills and just the education in the industry will help you out quite a bit. And it's also one of the reasons, you know, when we talk about leasing programs, that I always try to recommend to people, they're anxious to get into a lease. I'm anxious to be an owner operator. I want to be my own boss. But get out there and do the job for at least a year as a company driver so you really have an understanding of how the industry works. And it may take longer than that, but don't be too quick to jump into it, because I think you'll get eaten up with things you haven't experienced yet or things you don't understand yet. So the point of this is understanding, you know, making sure you're adapting cost strategies when it comes to leasing. It's a big jump from being that company driver where all that stuff was taken care of for you to becoming your own independent contractor, your own business person. You're going to start your own small business. And in a lot of cases, nobody's out there with you, holding your hand, looking over your shoulder to make sure you're making the right business decision. So you have to be extremely disciplined person. Meaning you have to be able to put money away. You have to be able to educate yourself and be willing to learn new things and go back. And even as you get, hopefully you've lined yourself up with an accounting firm or something like that to help you keep your books on your business, go back and look at the results of last month. Where did I do things right? Where did I do things, some areas that I could make improvements in? Those are really important. So you have to kind of be a student of the business too, and always, you never stop learning. Go back and what can I learn from my results last month? How am I going to better myself? So the idea is that you have to have a game plan. You can't just jump into a lease program and think, oh, it's going to be just as easy as it was as a company guy, but I'm going to make more money. It isn't, and you won't. You're probably going to find yourself actually making less money than a company guy if you don't have a game plan. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Driven Too Far. If you're interested in learning more about the Chief Carriers Lease Program, check us out at chiefcarriers.com.